3 weeks ago, I stood up here and I told you that our summer giving had kind of gone like this, and died, and we were like $30,000 behind where we needed to be for the year. And so our plan was, well, let's tell everybody, and then in September, let's take 4 weeks of special offerings to catch up so that we're all caught up. And let me tell you why it's important that we catch up. Just one example. We have something called an orphan care or foster family ministry. And if you give a dollar, a small percentage of that dollar goes into this fund for orphans and foster families. And just this week, we found out about a mom who has three of her own kids who this week inherited four more children, right? A 15-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 2-year-old. Now, I don't know about you, but if one day I had three kids and the next day I had seven without any warning, like this lady, I would have nothing ready. She had nothing. She has nothing ready. So we found out about it, and our orphan care foster family ministry was able to buy beds for all the children, clothes for all the children, and give the family a big old gift card to Walmart so they could buy groceries for seven kids. That's why it's important that we catch up, because of moments like that. And you guys know we help so many people throughout the community. So it's important that we keep caught up with our budget. So I told you we're going to do the special offering in September. Well, you didn't wait. July, your offerings were $78,000 in July, which is one of the best months we've had in a long, long time. So we're caught up, which is great. Say thank you. You should clap for that. That's God's generous people coming through, which is so cool, so cool. So we were thinking, well, what do we do with that special offering that we announced in September? We can't just not do that special offering. And so I want to propose something to you. I don't have permission from the finance team, and I'm probably going to be in a lot of trouble on Tuesday when we meet, but here's my proposal to you. Let us, in September, go ahead and have a special offering every week in September, but with this in mind. 6 years ago, when we had the great flood and we lost our building and we had to tear that building down and remodel the gym and buy these portables and fix them up, well, we had to take out a loan for like $400,000 to do that. Do you know how much is left on that loan? $18,000. Let's get done with that. Let's take September and let's just be done with that. Can we do that? If you were planning to give to catch up in September, we're caught up. Keep giving. You know, if you just give regularly, we don't have to catch up. But let's plan in September to just pay off that stupid mortgage. 18 grand. Y'all in? Whether you can give a dollar or a thousand, let's do it in September, okay? So back to talking to everybody. Did Aaron tell you that this Wednesday night begins our Things You Won't Hear on Sunday? Did he tell you that the first 6 weeks were all about family? The first 3 weeks were all about marriage? Okay. Did he tell you that it's Melissa Kahn's birthday? Oh, I wasn't supposed to say anything either, but I did. We are starting, happy birthday. We are starting a new series today called How to Live with Your Lions and Not Get Eaten for Lunch. We all have lions. You're aware of this? Has this ever occurred to you that you have a lion? We all have lions. Yours might look different than mine. They might act different than mine. They might attack different than mine. But we all have a lion or two or 12 in our lives. And we always will. As long as you're alive, you're going to have lions in your life that are trying to scare you, trying to distract you, trying to kill you. They will not go away. They're like the Kardashians. You can't avoid them. I just wish they'd go away, don't you? Just go away. But lions are like that. They don't go away. You're always going to have a lion in your life trying to scare you, trying to devour you, trying to destroy you. And so since that's true, you need a strategy. I don't know if you have a strategy or not, but you need a strategy to deal with the lions in your life. Peter left us this great reminder. He said, "Stay alert!" Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. So stand firm against him. Be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering that you are. So, for the next 6 weeks, we're going to learn what to do with our lions. The first 3 weeks, we are going to talk strategy. What do we do? How do we respond? And then we're going to have the church has left the building right in the middle. And then when we get back, we're going to look at three very specific lions that, in my opinion, are having just their way with Jesus' people. Three lions that are taking too many Christians out. We're going to look at the me first lion, the greed lion, and the busy lion. We're going to look at those three lions. That's coming up. But for today, let's just talk strategy. When it comes to lions, there are some that you're going to have to just learn to live with. They're always going to be there. No matter what you do, they will always be a part of your life, so you'll have to learn how to live with them. Daniel is going to help us learn that lesson when we look at his life in 3 weeks. But there are other lions we're going to talk about today and next week. There are other lions that you have to chase down and kill. There are some lions that are so dangerous, so deadly, so powerful, so strong, that you have to chase them down and kill them, and you have to do it now. Like, you have to be rid of those lions before they do any more damage. Which brings us to our boy today. His name is Benaiah. You ever heard of Benaiah? Maybe not. Benaiah gets like a chapter or a paragraph in a chapter in the scripture. So he's not one of those famous guys in the scripture, but he should be. Samuel the prophet tells us about his life, or just a little bit about his life, in 2 Samuel chapter 23. That's 2 Samuel chapter 23. Then there was also Benaiah. Time out. His name, names in the Old Testament and in the New Testament really, are so important. It's not like we name our children, we just pick out something we like. They chose names that they hoped would reflect a character. And Benaiah's name in Hebrew means God built. Built by Yahweh, or God builds. That's a great name. You should consider that if you're having a baby. Benaiah. God builds. There was this guy, Benaiah, built by God, son of Jehoiada, who was a valiant warrior from Kabzeel. He did many heroic deeds, which included killing, and the original language frames it like this. In English, it says two champions, but the original language frames it like this. He did some valiant deeds, and he killed two lion-like men as strong as lions from a place called Moab. And then here's the sentence that just summarizes his life, and it's the sentence we're going to focus on today. One day, another time, on a snowy day, he chased a lion down into a pit and killed it. Hello. All right, did you hear that? On a snowy day, he chased a lion down into a pit and killed it. If you're a normal person, you should be asking yourself, why would anybody chase a lion into a pit on a snowy day? Why would anybody do that? That is so dangerous, Benaiah. It's so dangerous, not safe. We pray for your safety every day, and you're not being safe. Why would anybody chase a lion into a pit on a snowy day? At least take a friend. At least wait for the snow to melt. Dude, how about hiring somebody to do it for you? Why would anybody chase a lion into a pit on a snowy day? Well, the easy answer, the obvious answer is, this particular lion was more than likely threatening or killing his tribe, his people, people that he knew, people that he loved, or at the very least, killing their flocks and their livelihood. He wasn't just doing this for sport. That was not a thing for a poor warrior like Benaiah. He had a reason, and the reason was this lion was a threat. Now, there are dozens and dozens of documented accounts of lions going crazy once they get the taste of human flesh in their mouths. In 1898, there was a railroad building company in Kenya that spent a whole summer being terrorized by two male lions. Those two lions, during that summer, killed and ate 140 workers. They are a threat. And so Benaiah recognizes this threat, and he chases the lion into the pit on a snowy day. So I want you to ask yourself this question. Is your current lion, whatever it is, whatever you might call it, is your current lion a threat to the well-being of people that you love? Is your pride a threat to the people that you love? Is your lust a threat to the people that you love? Is your busy schedule a threat to the people that you love? Is your anxiety, fear, depression, and worry a threat to the people that you love? Is your greed a threat? Is your broken heart? Is your loneliness? Is your addiction? Is your lion, whatever it is and whatever you might call it today, is it a threat to someone other than you? And if the answer is yes, you got to chase it down. You can't live with it anymore. You have to chase it down. If it's threatening not just you, but the lives, the well-being, the livelihood, just the whole sense of family, the whole sense of just health in the people that you love, if that lion in your life is a threat to someone else you love, you must chase it down. Like Benaiah. And before you do, before you start running after your lion, there's some things you have to do first. You got to be prepared. And I would just suggest, based on the life of Benaiah, that you surround yourself with the right people. See, we haven't heard the whole story of Benaiah, but Benaiah belonged to this amazing group of men. He has a backstory. He belonged to a group of men with a super cool name, David's Mighty Men. That's a great name for a group of guys, right? David's Mighty Men were warriors. They were bodyguards for King David. But Benaiah was one of them. See, he wasn't just a solo act. He wasn't a loner. He wasn't trying to go through life on his own. He had surrounded himself with other men who were strong and valiant and willing to fight and heading in the same direction that he was heading. You need to surround yourself with the right people. There's another thing you need to do. You need to learn to see obstacles as opportunities. If you're a Jesus follower, if you've got lions threatening people you love, you have got to learn how to see obstacles as opportunities. Let me tell you what I see. When I see a lion and I have to kill it, but it's snowing, what I see is a huge obstacle. Because snow makes everything cold, and I'm soft. I don't like to be cold. Snow makes everything slippery, especially when you don't have Merrell hiking boots, you just have sandals. Snow makes everything muddy and gross. And if I'm Benaiah in that situation, I see the snow as an obstacle. He saw it as an opportunity. When you learn to see and view the obstacles in your life as opportunities to overcome, you'll just chase lion after lion after lion. Not all obstacles are obstacles. Figure out a way to get around it, over it, under it, through it. Obstacles are opportunities. And the third thing you've got to do is refuse to fear failure. Have you noticed, and maybe this is you, people who are afraid to fail almost never try. If you're afraid you might fail, why even try? This is the way most of us live. We don't want to look like a failure. We don't want people to know we failed. But guess what? Failure is a part of being a human being. If you're going to do anything in this life, you're going to fail. You're going to fall. So what do when you fail or fall? Well, you get up and you learn from the failure and you try again. Benaiah didn't have this fear that he might fail chasing a lion into a pit. What was the worst thing that could happen? What's the worst thing that could happen if you chase a lion into a pit? You die. What's the worst thing that could happen to you if you try? Maybe you die. But guess what? If you're a Jesus follower, your Savior has beaten death. What do you have to fear? The scripture tells us that for the Jesus follower, death is a profit. F-I-T, not P-H-E-T. Are you with me? Death is gain. Death is a good thing for the Jesus follower because we inherit our reward. Then we, if you follow Jesus, you have nothing to fear. So if death can't hurt you, why are we afraid to fail? So before you start chasing lions, make sure you got the right people. Make sure you see obstacles as really what they are, and just don't be afraid to fail. And when you're ready, when you're finally ready to chase your lion, don't wait for perfect conditions. I could tell you so many stories of Jesus followers who have this dream, have this calling, have this idea, have this thing that they know they are supposed to do, and yet they're waiting. They're waiting for all the stars to align. They're waiting for perfect conditions. A snowy day is probably the worst possible day to chase a lion. It's the worst possible day. Didn't stop Benaiah. You can't wait for perfect conditions in an imperfect world. You just can't. If you're ready to chase your lion, don't worry about the weather. Don't worry about the stock market. Don't worry about the situation. Just start chasing it. It's too dangerous for you to wait. It's too dangerous. Don't wait for perfect conditions. Third, embrace your divine purpose. I don't know because I'm not in Benaiah's brain, but I suspect that Benaiah, growing up knowing who he was, with a mama and a daddy, his daddy would probably tell him all the time, Benaiah, you were made by God. Every time they spoke his name, he would be reminded, I was built for these moments. I was built by God. This was Benaiah's lion to kill, no one else's. Your lion is your lion. No one else can chase it and kill it for you. I bet people have tried. And it just makes it worse. You have to embrace that divine calling, that divine purpose in your life, that God has created you for moments like this. God has created you to be more than a conqueror. God has placed within you his spirit, the spirit of the living God, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And when you start to chase your lion, you've just got to embrace that. The last thing you got to do is just jump in your pit. Just jump in the pit. Get in the fight. Start. Quit. Make the phone call. Cut off the internet. Remove yourself from the situation. Deal with the toxic relationship. Forgive. Whatever it is. Whatever it is you have to do to defeat your lion, just jump in the pit. Get in the fight. Start. Do something. Get in the pit. Now, what do you do when you're in the pit? What do you do when you're in the pit and you're face to face with a 550-pound killing machine? Well, that's next week in a message called David Grabbed What? That's coming up next week. But for today, I want to give you our bottom line. Worship leaders, this, wherever you are, now's the time because I'm about done. Here's the bottom line. When you are facing a lion, the lion has your back. Whatever lion you are facing, when you're facing a lion, the lion has your back. John the disciple, the apostle, on an island one day, exiled from other human beings, waiting to die. He had already been tortured. They had tried to kill John so many times he lost track. They had boiled him in wax, and he did not die. And one day, this beaten, battered man is communicating with God, and God gives him a vision, and he writes it down for us. Revelation chapter 5, John says, I saw a scroll in the right hand of the one who was sitting on the throne. There was writing on the inside and the outside of the scroll, and it was sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel who shouted with a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals on this scroll and open it? But no one in heaven or on earth or even under the earth was able to open the scroll and read it. So John says, I began to weep. I began to weep bitterly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll and read it. But one of the 24 elders said to me, stop weeping. Stop your crying. Stop mourning. Stop worrying. Stop weeping. The lion of the tribe of Judah. If this is a new phrase to you, this is one of the titles given to Jesus. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. See, Peter told us that our enemy, the devil, was like a lion. Like a lion. Not really a lion. He's a pretender. He's a fake. He's a counterfeit. He's a player. He just acts like he has power. He just acts like he's dangerous. But there is one who is more powerful than all. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the heir to David's throne. He has won the victory. Did you hear? Did you hear what John said? That this lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has already won the victory. So, no matter how big or strong or nasty or mean your lion might appear to you, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has already won your victory. He has your back. He is in the pit with you. So stop weeping. Stop waiting. Stop worrying. Get in the fight. He has won the victory, and he is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals. Your lion is no match for that lion. And if Jesus has your back, you have nothing to fear. Let's pray together. Thank you, Jesus, that you have already overcome. Thank you, Jesus, that although our lions are deadly and dangerous and powerful and always with us, you are greater. You are more. You are stronger. You are eternal. You are worthy. We have nothing to fear because of you. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.